The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name, and the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to Luke chapter 2.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtledoves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for your revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the seventh day of Christmas, so if someone has seen the swans, please let them know and get them in and out of the snow. It's also New Year's Eve. Not a formal holiday on the church calendar, but this is the first time since 2006 that New Year's Eve has been on a Sunday. Looking backward, I was in St. Louis that year, still in the Sem, and David was just over a year old and quite a bit smaller. That secular day looks back quite a bit with all of the best of lists. Whatever you like, I'm sure there's a list that's been compiled. It also tries to look forward. The biggest marker of that might be those New Year's resolutions. Even the month that we are about to enter, January, takes its name from that two-faced Roman god Janus, looking backward and looking forward. But I'd like to suggest a major difference between the secular version of that reflection and a Christian one informed by today's text. Today's text is not without its backward reflections. They center around the phrase, the law of Moses. Mary and Joseph are in Jerusalem to perform the cleansing ceremonies and sacrifices after the childbirth. They're also dedicating Jesus, the firstborn. The purification is for Mary and Joseph. Luke says it's their purification. So in that stable in Bethlehem, Joseph must have served as the midwife. Both under that Mosaic law would have to present themselves for ritual purification. And the sacrifice was those two pigeons. Meanwhile, according to the same law, the firstborn would either be redeemed, a 5 shekel price, or dedicated to God. It seems like Joseph and Mary dedicated Jesus, which makes religious sense. A fulfillment of the type of Samuel. It also offers insight, though, into the financial circumstances of the Holy Family, in that their poor option, two pigeons and dedication, was what was always selected. The law of Moses is what those pious Jews looked back to in order to structure and to ground their lives. And it wasn't just Mary and Joseph, but Luke shows us two others, Simeon and Anna. Simeon was a man righteous and devout. Anna, looking backward, had been married for 7 years, but a widow for a much longer stretch, spending her widowhood in fasting and prayer and speaking about God to all who would listen in those temple precincts. The law structured their current daily life, but it also asked these saints to do something else. It asked them to look forward. Simeon's righteousness and piety kept him waiting for the consolation of Israel. Anna's prayers and fasting kept her waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. An 84-year-old widow and an aged man, both full of joy from the hope that lived in them. a hope that was forward-focused, a hope that was not Pollyannish. Simeon saw in that 40-day-old child the salvation of the Lord. The Spirit in him had told him that he would live to see it, and he did. But even in that bit of backwards rejoicing, Simeon turns forward. This salvation that he has seen has been prepared before the presence of all peoples. This Jesus would be the revelation to the nations while being the glory of Israel. This salvation would be the rising and the falling of many. This salvation would also be a sign of contradiction, or a sign that was opposed. Anna, speaking in praise at that very hour, turned towards the child. Their consolation of Israel and the redemption of Jerusalem was present in the flesh. And it's here that I want to highlight one of the differences between Simeon and Anna's forward-looking and our secular versions. When we tend to look for the future, we more often than not, what we're looking at is not based upon divine hope, but our human emotion. I hope I would lose some weight. I hope I get a better job. I hope that health holds. We make our plans, but those plans are often set contrary to past experience. We want to divorce ourselves from the past, and often contrary to human nature. Usually completely dependent upon our power alone to follow through. When we look forward, we are often ungrounded and unmoored. Unlike Simeon and Anna and Mary and Joseph, who were grounded in that law, we seek to divorce ourselves from it. And for that reason, our hopes are often so weak. They depend upon us alone. But Simeon and Anna's hopes for the future were dependent upon God doing what he said he was going to do: console Israel, redeem Jerusalem. They were waiting for that. They were waiting for what the Holy Spirit had told them was coming. And God keeps his promises. God's word is good. We get to look back at the events of Jesus' life and see that. We have the full revelation, the incarnation, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. We've seen the rising and the falling of many. We can ponder his sign of contradiction. But we are called to the same hope as Simeon and Anna. The word and the sacraments are our righteousness and piety. We are called to be grounded in prayer and worship. These things, such as our communion liturgy, unite us to the saints of all times and in all places. We're grounded in these things we do in remembrance of him. Because in these things, they're the visual fulfillment for us of what we see. They point us forward towards our hope. Our baptism has buried us with Christ so that we shall share his resurrection. This meal is a foretaste of the wedding feast to come, a feast with plenty of good wine. Unlike secular remembrances, which so often just exercise melancholy and nostalgia, Christian remembrance calls us to hope. It calls us to hope not in our actions, but the fact that God has acted and that he will bring his action to completion. Today, the Christ child is our pattern, even for 84-year-olds. Becoming strong and filled with wisdom and the grace of God. Because looking back, is not everything. There's a whole lot more in front of us. And what that whole lot more is the consolation of Israel. Here and now, swords will pierce our hearts. But blessed are they that mourn, for they will be comforted. All Israel shall be consoled on that day when every tear is wiped away. That whole lot more is the redemption of Jerusalem, not that earthly city. That city is part of the shadows that have given away to the reality. We have our eyes on a better city, a city planned and built by God. That heavenly Jerusalem, which on that great day will come down, that heavenly Jerusalem, which does not need a temple, because the Lord and the Lamb are the temple. And they are present day and night. The secular New Year typically depends upon being disconnected, being glad to see the old year go, and hoping against hope that the next year is better. Planning to exert some effort. But the Christian reflection is opposite. Looking back grounds us and points us forward, points us towards Christ, and points us towards hope, a hope that is secure in the grace of the Father. Amen.